Passage 2.
Company man. He worked himself to death. Finally and precisely at 3 a.m. Sunday morning. The obituary didn't say that, of course. It said that he died of a heart attack. I think that was it. But everyone among his friends and acquaintances knew it instantly. He was a perfect type A, a workaholic, a classic, they said to each other and shook their heads, and thought for 10 minutes about the way they lived. This man who worked himself to death finally and precisely at 3 a.m. Sunday morning, on his day off, was 51 years old and a vice president. He was, however, one of 6 vice presidents, and one of 3 who might conceivably, if the president died or retired soon enough, have moved to the top spot. Phil knew that. He worked 6 days a week, 5 of them until 8 or 9 at night, during a time when his own company had begun the 4-day week for everyone but the executives. He had no outside interests, unless, of course, you think about a monthly golf game that way. To Phil, it was work. He always ate egg salad sandwiches at his desk. He was, of course, overweight, by 20 or 25 pounds. He thought it was okay, though, because he didn't smoke. On Saturdays, Phil wore a sports jacket to the office, instead of a suit, because it was the weekend. He had a lot of people working for him, maybe 60, and most of them liked him most of the time. 3 of them will be seriously considered for his job. The obituary didn't mention that. But it did list his survivors quite accurately. He is survived by his wife Helen, 48 years old, a good woman of no particular marketable skills, who worked in an office before marrying and mothering. She had, according to her daughter, given up trying to compete with his work years ago, when the children were small. A company friend said, "I know how much you will miss him." And she answered, "I already have." Missing him all these years, she probably gave up trying to love him the way she used to. She would be well taken care of. His dearly beloved, eldest of the dearly beloved children, is a hard-working executive in a manufacturing firm down south. In the day and a half before the funeral, he went around the neighborhood researching his father, asking the neighbors what he was like. They were embarrassed. His second child is a girl who is 24 and newly married. She lives near her mother and they are close. But whenever she was alone with her father in a car driving somewhere, they had nothing to say to each other. The youngest is 20, a boy, a high school graduate who has spent the last couple of years, like a lot of his friends, doing enough occasional jobs to buy grass and food. He was the one who tried to grab the affection of his father and tried to mean enough to him to keep the man at home. He was his father's favorite. Over the last 2 years, Phil stayed up nights worrying about the boy. The boy once said, "My father and I only board here." At the funeral, the 60-year-old company president told the 48-year-old widow that the 51-year-old deceased had meant much to the company and would be missed and would be hard to replace. The widow didn't look him in the eye. She was afraid he would read her bitterness. And after all, she would need him to straighten out the finances, the stock options and all that. Phil was overweight and nervous and worked too hard. If he wasn't at the office, he was worried about it. Phil was a type A, a heart attack natural. You could have picked him out in a minute from a lineup. So, When he finally worked himself to death, at precisely 3 a.m. Sunday morning, no one was really surprised. By 5 p.m., the afternoon of the funeral, the company president had begun, discreetly, of course, with care and taste, to make inquiries about his replacement. One of three men. He asked around, "Who's been working the hardest?"